Welcome to the Los Ponies Podcast, checking in for a new week here on the podcast, but a new intro because we had a little bit of an audio issue for the first 40 seconds, so enjoy the show, pick it up, we're picking it up just as Curtis is lamenting his two losses for the Pizza Bet, so enjoy the show, a little bit of audio issues, but we'll pick it up about 40 seconds in.
Yeah, to hit the exacta, I was sitting second for... What, up until the eighth race, I believe, and it was you and Mr. LoSal going battling.
You know who got me over the hump? Corona by Corona.
Yep.
Corona by Corona, that big, big effort there in trial number nine.
Yeah, you hit the exacta, so you got that, and you went above me. But I was still, you know, very confident that I would beat Mr. LoSal, who had $6 to his name. Just a horrible consensus. I mean, then the last one, he hits that exacta. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm still up on him by like $16 or something. He's going to get the win, and he's going to get the exacta. But it's 3-1 to 3-1.
Yeah.
Lucky for him, 3-1, 3-1, it pays $20 for the exacta.
It was ridiculous.
I was like, how does it pay $20? So he launches right past me. I'm sitting second the whole night because George was the runaway winner.
Yeah.
He crushed us early with an exacta and a trifecta.
He was right about those Ridoso invaders. Remember, they were... right next to each other?
Yeah.
That's where he cashed in the exacta. That was the exacta that made the pick.
Yeah, he had, what was that, flash and roll
flash
to,
and roll.
It was another Flores with the motions in it. Just motions or, I believe, something along those lines. But he hit the $82 exacta right then when the PJ runner, what was the name of that one?
So it was just motions, the exacta horse for George. Then what other race were we talking about?
I believe it was the one with Flash and Roll.
Oh, yeah, so Flash and Roll, I think Just Motion was the 7. I think that's the horse that got up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he hit the exacta there for 82 bucks. That set him far ahead of us, and he was coasting throughout.
Yeah, it was a tricky night nonetheless. It was an eventful night as well. Did we have 4 or 5 horses break through the gate in that trial?
I think it was 5. I mean, I had never seen that many.
It was in the waiver down trial, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Monte Rosa with Seduction drops the bomb. I mean, all the favorites broke through the gate. I've never seen that in any race I've ever watched, that many break through the gate. I'm sure all the gamblers out there who had tickets alive were just cringing at that start.
Just ripping up your tickets at that point. But let's recap the locks of the night last week. So we started in race 7. I went with Transcend. It was kind of, if I remember, it was kind of acting up in the gate before.
Yeah.
And just didn't really fire. So my lock, it was not good, not good. All right. So then Mr. LoSal, race number 8, Chocolatito, a horse that I almost made my lock of the night. And then he breaks through the gate.
Yep.
And then but he still runs a respectable second.
Yes.
But in the end, he didn't win. So, all right.
You gotta take your lumps.
All right. All the money is now flowing to the Curtis lock of the night. Curtis, favorite wise lady.
I mean, that was supposed to be one of the locks of the night for everybody. Everybody was getting after me for picking that one on top, and she runs a dull race.
Yeah, and in the end, you know, George comes through with the final lock of the night and favorite motion on the outside. Not only the favorite motion was a game winner on the outside, fastest qualifying time for the final. We've seen kind of this scenario when Waver Down did this for the Edberg Million. He set a very good time. I think he set a second or third fastest that night in the final trial of the night. Last week, favorite motions, the fastest time of the night in the last trial. And he did it pretty comfortably, was not asked for the best. I was very, very impressed.
Yeah, had that outside draw and lugged in, and Cruz just kind of let the horse, you know, do its thing, let him travel to the inside there. But, yeah, just put up a huge effort. He had a strong debut and then, you know, a troubled second start out, but put it all together and looked really strong in that final trial.
Yeah, so that's going to be a fun final watch. I don't have the top 10 in front of me, but I can tell you that Favorite Motion is going to be a very tough horse to beat if he repeats that effort. We got to remember, he's lightly raced, only making his fourth lifetime start in the final. So Favorite Motion is going to be a horse to watch. I do know who finished 10th. Excuse me. That was Wicked Affair. How about Wicked Affair sneaking in with the 10 fastest times.
Yeah, that bad break. Still yeah. finished well along the inside. A pretty good third to powerful favorite. And just Macho Corona.
Correct, yeah.
Who we talked about before, you know, was pretty good in the Ed Burka, a really good third. And was just finishing really strong. So look out for Wicked Affair. Going to be a force to be reckoned with in the final.
Yeah, and we've seen a lot of good performances despite some trouble. And I'm that just gets us to believe that the 2 million trials are going to be very, very good. They're going to be stacked with talent.
Yeah, I mean, again, here's a field really deep. Apolitical Pence.
Correct.
Ran a really strong race, just flew out of there. I kind of had questions about that horse going 400. That's why I picked against it. But then you had Tequila Sangria, who's been hyped all year long.
Yeah.
Like Georgia suspected, might get a little goofy there on the outside, yeah. and did, but still ran a pretty strong race. And there's only a few I think I would go against here, but I think I'm keying in on Flash and Roll, and I'm going to go Wicked Affair there in the final.
Yeah, it's going to be a good final to bet, without a doubt. So looking forward to the finals of the Golden State Million Futurity. We invited George back into the podcast. He said, guys, I'm too busy. I'm too busy. I'm heading to Universal.
Yep.
Don't bother me.
Yeah, big time in us already. He gets crowned champion. He just thinks he can take the night off.
So I walk into the press box after the consensus is tallied. And not only did you finish last in our little side wager, but the belt remained in Professor G's corner. I walk in there, and it's the Rocky music all over again.
Oh, God. I mean, it was bad. I never thought that I would do that. Every horse I had on top broke bad that night. And after the Paul Jones runner that was to the outside of Flash and Roll, who I love from the work.
Correct.
Ed Burghardt loved the horse's work. Once that horse broke bad, I turned to George, and I go, I'm losing tonight. And sure enough, almost every single one of my horses broke bad. Waver down, broke through the gate. I mean, it was just one horror show after another.
Professor G has bragging rights for another month or so.
Yes.
To keep the belt in his corner, but you're on the hook for two pizza days.
You know, at least I get to have pizzas. One way I get to look at it.
Yeah.
I mean, I was probably going to have to go get the pizzas anyway.
Yeah, true.
I'm kind of the delivery guy because if you let Professor go get the pizza, he's going to be getting it to you at the third or fourth race, and you're not even going to be able to partake.
He texts me. He's like, hey, there's pizza upstairs. Well, yeah, I'm stuck on set in the third race already.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, thanks a lot. So I say, just give me the money. I'll go run before since I got to be here, you know, an hour before post. So, yeah. But, yeah, just a horrible night. I'm on the hook for two pizzas. So I'll probably be paying one next week just to get that one out of the way, and maybe I'll bring it on Challenge.
Yeah, all right. Sounds good. All right, let's get to the business at hand. Saturday night, October 27th, we've got a 9-race card, correct? Yes, 9-race card here featuring just the John Ward Overnight Handicap in race number 9. 9 races. We begin with Thoroughbreds going 4 furlongs for a claiming tag of $2,500. Curtis, I'm going to have to interrupt you and jump ahead of you because...
What do you mean?
Lock of the night right off the back in race number 1. Lock of the night. Gonna be? Can you guess it?
I'm gonna go with the 5, Zacchaeus.
Oh, close, but no.
Okay.
The other speedrunner can't beat LA.
Oh, okay.
Can't beat LA with the apprentice rider here, Francisco Orduña Rojas. Tabbed 116. He broke slow last time out, steadied and blew the turn in a race to ignore. That was a very, very good field of El Coreano and Chengy Karma. We know how speedy he can be. We know there's a little bit of always problems taking the turn, but I like the freshening. I like dropping class. If he breaks well, he's by far the fastest in this field, and it's all going to be up to Francisco Rojas here to try to take that turn. So Can't Beat LA for me, it's going to be the lock of the night.
Yeah, I put Can't Beat LA in the second spot. Just off the recent form, he's kind of been weakening and drifting out, lugging out on that turn. Had some trouble there at the start. But definitely going to be out there winging it on the drop-in class from 4,000 to 2,500. But I'm going to try and get a little bit of a price on Zacchaeus, just to the outside there of him. This horse is razor sharp up until that $5,000 level, in which we talked about last time he was running. I think we both thought that was just too tough of a task to take on. And Sergio drops his horse down all the way to the $2,500 level and gets a weight break with Pieris. I think he can stay maybe a length, of, you know, two lengths off Camp Beadley, and hopefully you can pass him in the stretch.
Yeah, so, you know, it's all about who makes the lead at this 4-4 long distance. I'm hoping that Camp Beadley can be that horse. I'm scared of Big Energy, the two. The horse that can show enough speed to stay close and can come from off the pace, but doesn't necessarily need to be on the lead. That's a horse that scares me the most. And then I was interested by the one individualist who hopped at the start, was off slow, kind of rushed up there, and still finished a very good third in a 51 flat type of race last time out. So I'll go 3-2-1 here. I just think Camp Beadley could be the horse that steals it on the front end.
Yeah, just a little bit different order. I went 5-3-2.
All right, that's race number one. Race number two here, the second half of the early double, 870-yard event. We got a field of six. We got a couple of familiar horses that we're pretty used to. A couple of sharp runners. By the way, Dodgers, bottom of the second, 0-0. Walker Buehler looking good for two innings.
You guys better get this game. It's going to be a tough mountain.
If they don't get this game, it's all over. I need to put out a mega jinx tweet out right now or something like that. It's just been horrible, but they're hanging in there back at home. Let's see if they can get it done. All right, race number two, 870 yards, field of six. Oh, the old favorite of ours, Count Caligalkis.
Yep.
Now in the barn of Paul Jones. Was clean for eight, brings him back for eight. Is Count Caligalkis your pick?
I'm going to try and beat him this time.
Ooh.
I'm just not sure how this horse is going to take to the Paul Jones barn. Was running really sharp for my dad. Could improve,
yes.
But might regress. But I know that the one, Hot Bob, is going to run his race.
Yes.
And draws the inside there, so I don't think Cal Caligalkis is going to be able to clear like he normally can. You know, we like that acceleration that horse can show on the turn. But I think the one is going to be the inside of the speed there and is going to duel with the six. I think it's going to be a battle all the way to the wire, no matter who's there. Right. I don't think anyone's getting away, but I'm going to go with the one, Hot Bob, for the one.
I like this. Previously featured lock of the night. I think I picked, well, for sure, the first two wins that you show on paper, he was a lock of the night on both nights because he was not the morning night favorite. But then the last two starts, he was still my top pick, but I didn't make him my lock of the night because he was the morning night favorite. So, very game second last time out, almost looked like a winner. I'm going to pick Hot Bob on top also as well. Cal Caligalkis, like you mentioned, it's going to be the main threat on the outside. Now for Paul Jones here, Edgar Pierre jumps aboard. Edgar has been aboard for great wins aboard this 4-year-old colt. Enter for eight again. Do you have any inside info? They might try to claim him back, right back for that price?
You never know, but I haven't heard anything yet. Okay. But, I mean, my dad always likes to claim back. He never has a problem with
it. Yeah, true.
So I can see him dipping in and going once again.
Stoney's Mr. Cruz is going to be my third pick off of that good second place finish last time out. Went a little bit wide there down the stretch and just missed by a neck in a game effort of 45-49. I really can't see any other outside of those top three getting the job done. I'll go 1-6-2 here in race two.
Yeah, I had a Hot Bob for first. Stoney Mr. Cruiser, I think, will set a nice trip there in second. And Cal Caligalkis there in the third spot. Yeah, I kind of like the four, Profit in Paradise, but I think there's a lot of speed in there. But I don't think coming back to Los Al after being away for a while, not sure this horse can stay up with the one or six, so I went 1-2-6.
All right, race number three, another 870-yard allowance here. $12,000 is the purse, and this is going to be a field of eight. More night period is going to be the three here. Tuesday Supernova. Field of eight once again here. Curtis, who's your pick?
I went to the three. Ooh. Tuesday Supernova there for Jesus Nunez.
Agree.
This horse has been pretty sharp here. Ever since being claimed for 3,200, raised it up to five, ran a really good second there to Parasil, then came back $8,000 level against Parasil again. So no Parasil in this one, so I'm hoping just getting rid of that rival can get this horse into the winner's
room. I agree with you. That was a very good second. Was kind of pushed out around the turn and just missed by a head. Kind of put away Shawla there, who was putting some pressure. But I like Tuesday Supernova again here. Juan Sanchez stays aboard. The one, Siopino Pasadino, for Ed Freeman, is going to be the main threat in my eyes. This horse, dunked here to the 4.5, to the 870-yard oval here, was a game winner two starts back over the daytime oval. But I think he's shown enough speed to warrant a little bit of respect here from that inside post. And anytime you get Vinny here, he knows what to do from the rail. Family Rules. This one was a lock of the night. I want to say either four starts back or two starts back. Maybe two starts back. This one was a lock of the night, finishing third. John Jude stays aboard. I think this horse could sit a trip if there's kind of a little bit of a speed rule up top. So I'll go 3, 1, and 2.
Yeah, I went 3, 4, 1. I went Shaul in second there. Horse has a ton of speed. You know, just been weakening the last, but I think can at least get in there early. And Tuesday Supernova probably going to overtake her. Her in the stretch. And then Siopina Pasadena, I think, will be right there. But maybe we'll have to sit a stalking trip this time, first time in the nighttime oval. Has that speed, but like I said about Profit in Paradise, sometimes the nighttime speed can be a bit faster, so it might have to be sitting a stalking trip. All
right, that's race number 3. Race number 4, the start of the pick 6. We're sitting down to the straightaway, 300 yards here, race number 4. Maidens going up. A straight maidens is a field of 10. Field of 10 here to start the pick 6. We got a few familiar names, most will only be legally huddled on the inside. But a field of 10 here, very tricky in my eyes. Who'd you pick here?
Yeah, I thought this was a really tough way to end the pick 4. You've got some horses with form, but have lacked that winning habit there, you know, the 1 and the 10. So I'm going to try and beat them, and I'm going with 2 first-time starters, which I normally don't do. But I'm going to the 4 Hot Blazing Chick here for Jose Flores and Cruz Mendez and the Valgo Racing Team. They've always got well-bred runners. It's out of a mare that won a fraternity at Albuquerque and qualified for some other fraternities, but I really like the way this horse worked there on September 4th. I thought it broke okay and quickly gained the lead and drew off by about 2.5. And as long as this horse can get a clean break, I think he might be able to get a little upset at 6-1.
Of the 2 first time starters, I do prefer the 4 Hot Blazing Chick. The breeding's there. I like the 12:30 work out there. Just completely dusted the workmate there on the handwriting, 12:30. I thought it was a visually impressive work. 6-1 in the morning line for Jose Flores. I'll pick her for 2nd. My top pick is going to be the 10 horse on the outside, Walk On By Blues for Jimmy Glenn Jr., Ned Allred, a horse that broke pretty well last time out and would just miss 2nd by a head. I thought it was a better-than-looked effort. Now it goes to the outside post. The racing experience might be just enough to get the jump on the 4 here, Hot Blazing Chick. So I'll go 10-4, and then the long shot play in this spot is going to be the 9 horse here, Jessica Haley.
I like that.
10-1. A horse that has, I don't think we've seen the full potential of this filly.
Yes.
Has not broken at all in all 4 starts. Last time out was a little bit improved from the outside post and finished in a better than look fit there. I thought she had a little bit of run past the wire. Maybe she's starting to figure things out. I just think we haven't seen the best of her. So I'll go 10-4 and 9.
Yeah, I like Jessica Helena. I like that mare, Belle Helene, and the start 2 outs back. I thought was really finishing well against Legally Hot there. But I went the 4 on top, and then I went the 7 KR Olive Oil, the other first time starter for Jaime. That October 9th drill just stumbled and lugged in early, but it was urged left-handed, won by a little over 2. I think that one should be ready to go first time out. Jaime can usually get them to go. And then I went with the 10, Walk On By Blues, horse you mentioned already. The only thing I'm scared about is being drawn on the outside. I usually talk about it. Ulysses tends to veer out. Uh-huh. This horse has had some trouble at the start. I think if it gets away cleanly and runs straight, probably the most probable winner. But I'm just banking on it has a little trouble away from the starting line.
All right, I'll go recap 10-4 and 9.
4-7-10.
All right, race number 5. Quarter horse and thoroughbreds here. By the way, happy birthday, Danielle. Happy birthday, Danielle, celebrating the birthday here in LaSalle. 870 yards here, allowance, field of 6, compact field of 6, but a very competitive field of 6 here. Who'd you go with on top?
Well, you know I'm not going to go with the 6.
No.
So I went with the 4.
Ooh,
Chocolate Mess.
We agree.
For Jerry Wallace.
Yes, we agree.
Even though Mike Robbins, he did fire with the quarter
yes,
horse.
Yes, he did.
The name escapes me. I was trying
me
to
too.
Think about it, but he did pretty well. And Big Time Patriot's always a horse I thought would like longer distances, but I thought Chocolate Mess was really impressive first time running here in the nighttime oval. In the debut in the daytime, did show speed and weakened at the longer distance and shortened up a little. And I really liked the way that horse accelerated around the turn. I thought he did it very easy. And coming back at the 870-yard distance, I think should sit right off Big Time Patriot. So I'm going to put him on top.
This could be the $3,500 claim of the year, in my eyes.
Yeah.
Because the way this horse won, did it so easily, was never asked. It's only a second lifetime start. I think there's upside for this horse. I wouldn't be surprised if this horse runs a bang-up effort here. And then the December Daytime Thoroughbred meeting just around the corner. They could be pointing towards a race around the Daytime Oval, I think, with this horse. So Chocolate Mess for me on top as well. Big Time Patriots. Excuse me. The quarter horse for the Good Connections. Top rider. Should love the extra distance. I'll put him for second. And the 5 Streaking Statement is going to be my third choice for Ulises Gomez and Jimmy Glenn. A horse that has good racing experience going 870. A game win there in 45.83. 3 starts back. And always seems to show enough speed to get himself into the mix of things. So 4-6-5 for me in race number 5.
Same exact thing. Wow. 4-6-5.
Wow. Nothing more to say there in race number 5. All right, race number 6. The start of the late pick 4 here on this 9-race program. We got quarter horses going 300 yards for a claiming tag of $20,000. Maidens here looking for that maiden diploma. Field of 7. Morning night favorite is the 2 Tress Legends at 9-5. This was the other tricky race for me, in my eyes, other than race number 4. But who'd you pick here?
You know, Trace Legend was finishing well down there along the inside, but was never going to beat the top pair. But I went to the outside, Lone Sharky for Chris O'Dell. Mm-hmm. I've been on this horse ever since that second start where, you know, showed a lot of run late, made up a length of ground there at the 300-yard distance. I just like that this horse draws the outside post here in case, you know, has any trouble away from the gate. You look in the running lines, you know, bump, check, bump, squeeze, all the way down there. It's all trouble lines at the start. So I'm hoping just, you know, having the outside can't get into too much trouble. I think should be able to beat, you know, the 6 Moonwalking out of the gate and just be able to show that late kick at the end.
Yeah, that's going to be a tricky race. You know, in the end, I circled back to the 2 Tres Leches. But I'm not a confident pick at all in this race. The 2 deserves to be the morning night favorite off of that improved third place finish last time out. Was making up ground, but you know, she pretty had a pretty good trip, all things considered. There wasn't a lot of trouble there from the inside post. But just on the numbers, I'm going to pick her on top. The 7 Lone Sharky is going to be my second choice, like you mentioned. Chris O'Dell, second time at this level. Draws the outside here. Jose Nicasio for the first time tonight. He's riding pretty well for this barn all year long. So I'll make note of that for this one, taking the call first time on this horse here tonight. And the 4 Zips at 10-1 on the morning line, a horse that kind of hit the gate there, was off slow. You know, the comments like he wrote there, false broke. So false broke, this horse, right when they're about to open the gate, he kind of hit the front of the gate, but then kind of stood there, and then kind of got off a little bit slow. So it went from almost beating the gate to getting off a little bit slow. So I thought the 4 could improve here for Juan Alaman and Gentry from. So I'll go 2-7-4.
Yeah, I went 7-2 and then to the 3 Monarch down there toward the inside part of the track for Mark Skeen and Cruz Mendez. Cruz isn't riding the 1, so it tells me he's getting off the Jose Flores to stay aboard this Mark Skeen horse. I think a lot of schemes, they tend to develop later on in the year. And I don't think we've seen the best of this horse yet. And I'm looking at the stats. Second off 45 to 180 days, he's hitting it almost 30%. So I think this horse has been steadily improving and much improved here in the third start.
All right, so I'll go recap 2-7-4.
7-2-3.
All right, race number 7, the final pick 3 of the card. Got quarter horses going 330 yards. An allowance with a field of 7 here going to post. Got a couple of horses that have shown a little bit of ability, especially qualified to the PC3HRA British Maturity and the 1 Patty Riley in the 7 calendar. But field of 7, you got an Invader from Albuquerque. Who'd you pick here?
God, I thought this field could have been almost a handicap race for
yes,
2-year-olds.
Kind of like a consolation stakes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think right up that alley. We got a lot of nice horses in here. But I'm going to try and upset them. I'm going to go to the 2, pull the trigger. We've talked about all year for Scott Willoughby. Just had trouble in the last pair of breaking. Even at that debut win, was lunged and knocked into rival, but always finishes. And I like this horse from the works. It draws to the outside of Patty Riley, you know, a main contender here. And I think this horse can just get away from the gate. Vinny's been breaking horses awesome. Can finally show this horse that can strong finish.
I almost picked him on top just because we know there's potential.
Yeah. Yes.
We know there's potential.
Yeah, I love the 6-1 on that. Yeah. That's pretty much what really cemented it for me.
Yeah, he showed ability there in winning the debut with trouble there. The time wasn't flashy. That's why he got 7-1 second time out and almost 6-1 third time out. But I think the two could definitely be a top contender. I'm going to put him for second, and I'm going to circle back to the horse that I thought was going to run huge last time out. And I'm talking about actually two starts back in the trials night, Patty Riley. I thought the horse showed a much better look, fifth in the Edberg Million, came back with a fourth on trials night, qualified to the finals, but Brooks Lowe had no room and wasn't really persevered with. I think the one could run a much better improved effort here. So Patty Riley on top, pulled the trigger here, is going to be my second choice. Then I'll go to the 7 on the outside for Calendar, a horse that on the California Free to Freshman Stakes, oh, I had that pick 3 wrong. No, that still hurts. That pick 3 with Red Hawk Cartel still hurts. Had Yopi, I had Calendar.
Yep.
I think I had two other horses, and here comes Red Hawk Cartel. But, you know, 5 lifetime starts, a win, 2 seconds, and a third. The only off effort was last time out. So I think you can give him a little bit of an excuse, and his form looks very, very good. By the way, welcome back, Cesar de Alba.
Yes.
Back in the saddle here. So good to see Cesar back in the saddle, a fellow listener of the podcast, and a proud owner of an exclusive Los Ponies hat. He has a hat before.
Gosh, he's one of the few.
Before it's available to the public, he has one in his possession. So shout out to Cesar there. I'll go 1-2-7.
Yeah, same horses, just a little different order, 2-7-1. Patty Riley should be there. I just think this horse wants longer distances. And then I pick Calendar in second. I think this horse is, just a solid race horse and just runs his race every time and draws a nice outside post. So I went 2-7-1.
Oh, we agree there. Just a little bit out of order. We've been seeing the ball pretty the same.
Yeah.
This could be interesting. I think I'm feeling a good thing about this
one. As we say, it's usually we do pretty good when that happens. So.
Curtis, there's 2 races left. You know what time it is.
The late daily double.
Yes, it is. Races 8 and 9, late daily double here on Saturday night. We got quarter horses going 330 yards. Another allowance here. A field of 7. And this is another very tricky good field. Good field set to post. Who'd you pick on top?
I'm going to go with the old school Catch Me in Your Dreams connections here.
Yes.
On the outside, uh-huh. We got Cody. We got Chris O'Dell and Kurt Goodfellow.
We agree again.
I mean, it's out of the, I believe Dream for Lindsay is half to Catch Me in Your Dreams.
I think so, right?
And has been running really tough here. Out of state, as Sam Houston and Remington been facing Political Attraction, Valiant Rogue, Iron Capo. I mean, those are really top horses out of state if you're watching. Draws a good outside post. And Chris can fire, first time. He's hitting at 25%. So as long as this horse can get away, I think it'd be pretty dangerous here in the 8.
And some people might be thinking, hey, but this horse was trained by James Paget. Aren't you guys worried?
Yeah.
Well, when this horse was trained by the other connections, the form was pretty much in that same kind of level.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this horse, whatever you've seen from him, could be true here for this horse. I like the connections. I like the outside draw. So I agree with you here for flying for Uncle Sam on the outside. For second, I'll go to the 5, Billionaire Boy. 2-for-12 lifetime horse for the Reliance Ranches. Stamped himself as a horse to watch with that breakthrough win back in June. Then he just ran into one of the strongest fields in the best of maturity. Someone who's supposed to be his thesis boy, Tarzanito. You gotta give him a little bit of an excuse there for that effort. He's 9-5 on the morning line and deserves to be that price. And then the 4 on the lookout could be a little bit of a sneaky play for me here. 8-1, a horse that looked terrific breaking the main in last November. Has been lightly raced, which leads me to believe there could be some issues there. But nonetheless, this horse showed plenty of ability. I think if the connections bring him back in this spot off a layoff, I think he's probably ready for a good effort. So 7, 5, and 4 for me.
Yeah, I went 7, 5, same thing. And then I went to the 3, Corona, Jump 'em, MRL here for Paul Jones. First time with Paul. Who's done very well with the Brazilian runner. Uh-huh. So I'm just going to throw out that first start here under the lights. It was hard to ride early. Sanchez rides back. Looked to be very successful in Brazil. We're just going to see if Paul can get this one to run, run straight and not erratically.
Shout out to fellow TV producer Blaze Bowman. He's big on the Brazilian.
Great. Brazil, Mexico. He loves it. Anything Latin.
Yeah, he is. All right, 7-5-4 for me.
7-5-3.
All right, we have arrived to the featured event, race number 9. the John Ward overnight handicap. We got a field of 8. And the interesting part is that we have 7 of the 8 runners coming out of the same common race.
Yep.
We're talking about the Blaine Schwannebo handicap, but I've got a little bit of notes right here, Curtis, that says
we're going bookends.
Wow.
You're going right off the bat, and I'm going to close the night with my
lock of the night here for Curtis. Who's it
going to
be?
I'm going to the 1. Just a cowboy like here for Matt Fales. Uh-huh. This horse has run really well at Los Al. You know, I thought had the class advantage, was favored last time there in the Blaine Schwannebo, but just broke a little bit slow. And then the 3 SP Four Square actually drifted out and took the path of Just a Cowboy. Really wanted to run, just had no room to go. Finally altered in and finished really well. I think with a clear path down here along the inside and with Love to Reason, BR, who, you know, is going to break sharp. Looks like he's going to be right there. Shouldn't cause too much trouble to Just a Cowboy. As long as this horse can get away from the gate and finally show that late kick, I think should come in here for the lock of the night.
Yeah, and without a doubt, I think Just a Cowboy is the best finisher. I'm just worried about the start like he did last time out. But without a doubt, he's going to be rolling late. Love to Reason there. Stamped herself as a very good horse to watch there. It's coming off the layoff from July, coming in from Sandy, and then won nicely there in the Blaine Schwannebo. Really underhand right there late for Jose Nicasio and Monte Arosa. So I'm going to give it to the edge just because of that gate speed, just because of that big effort first time out. By the way, home run, Dodgers.
Oh, man. Solo?
Doc Peterson, solo home run. And there, I think we're looking at the bottom of the third.
I think so.
Yeah, bottom of the third, 2 out, solo home run, Dodgers up 1-0. So, yeah, like I was saying, Love to Reason is going to be my top pick. Just a Cowboy is going to be my second choice. Then I'm going to the outside here with the 8, Joel Legacy, a horse that I was kind of waiting for that big effort to come out. Last time out, he ran his race. But he ran into two very good horses in Love to Reason and SP Foursquare, who was disqualified after that. But Joe Legacy, drawing the outside, I think could be a sneaky play at 8-1. So 2-1-8 for me.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I went to the 1 for the lock of the night, but I'm going to see if I can get Joe Legacy to wake up there on the outside in second. You know, horse has had a lot of success, has already won handicaps here at Los Al. You know, was away from the races for 3 years, came back strong. Hasn't really done a whole lot since coming back to Los Al. Threw his head and kind of drifted there, throughout the race. But I think having the outside post can finally show us what he can do again. And the 2 Love to Reason BR, just looked strong throughout that last time. You know, it just gets away there, and Just a Cowboy makes any mistakes, could be long gone there.
It's going to be a very fun edition here of the John Ward overnight handicap. 7 of the 8 runners coming out of the common race there in the Blaine Schwannebo. And he got. That's the business at hand. Anything else for the after show?
Well, I was going to see it. Did you have a pick for the Wild West Futurity?
I did, and it is the fastest qualifier.
Just send it?
Yeah.
You just don't want Keith to be mad at us, do you? I tell you, I was thinking, Paul better really take care of that guy, take him out to dinner. He's like his lucky charm.
Yes, he is.
Owner of Tavian Corona here has Just Send It. Who is the horse you picked on Golden State? The Corona by Corona,
7-1 on top.
I mean, right there. He's in all the trials, yes. Competing to all the big races. Yeah. I mean, so
The podcast is good mojo for Nelson.
I've turned. I don't want any more. I'm picking his horses. He's really lucky. But, yeah, I think he looks awfully tough. And then the 9 Ladies of Cartel, there drew a nice outside post and was actually second to Just Send It in the trial. But I thought finished really well. So I think I'm just keying in on those horses. I think they're the 2 to beat.
Yeah, I'm going with Just Send It on top. But my long shot play is going to be the 8 to 10, Stahlbach.
Yes.
There for Red Victory. This horse had about a length or more to make up midway on the rival.
Yeah.
Surged late to get into a dead heat. I was really impressed. I think the outside post could be key. That's going to be my long shot in the race.
Yeah, I was actually going to put that horse in third. I thought we were all pretty visually impressed with the way that horse exploded late. It wasn't quite BH Lisa's boy hold air hostage, but God, Stahlbach just really kicked it in there at the end. So I would probably go Just Send It, Ladies Cartel, and Stahlbach on the outside.
Yeah, we're pretty much in agreement there. But Just Send It, good podcast mojo. Good podcast
Definitely.
Mojo for sure. By the way, how about Sosha is out?
Get him out of here.
Sosha is out.
I'm so glad. My dad always says it's about 10 years too late. And now we It's Osmus, I believe, is going to be our new coach. A lot of people are hating that, but I say as long as we have fresh blood in there, just stir
so
things
new
up.
New eyes, right?
Yeah.
Change it up.
I think Socha was just too set in his way. He micromanaged everything, so I'm glad to have a new manager, no matter who it was.
Hey, after the Dodgers went down in game two, there's a lot of Twitter talk. Socha to the Dodgers.
Really?
Socha to the Dodgers, yeah.
Oh, my.
Because Babe Roberts, you know, in the scheme of things, I mean, they're back-to-back in the World Series. You can't
have
nothing more to ask.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if they don't get it, you know, we felt like if the Dodgers didn't get it done this year, last year it looked like it was there for the taking. Mm-hmm. This year they're off to an 0-2 start. There was a lot of talk on Twitter. Oh, man, Dave Roberts needs to be gone. And I sent out a tweet. I was like, it was Cookie Monster picking up the phone. I was like, Dave Socha calling Mike Socha calling the Dodgers right now. Hey, but because, you know, Mike Socha, you know, he was a Dodgers catcher. The Dodgers blood right there. He's a manager that likes to run the bases, likes to put up in bunts, likes to advance runners. We haven't seen that at all from the Dodgers.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are like, oh, Socha's the guy to do it. So we'll see. I don't know. I think if the Dodgers get it done and come back, whatever, Roberts will stay there for a while. But if they don't win a game, it could be shaky.
I can say about the Dodgers, they make the moves. They get the players to come. And so you can't fault, you know, the office for any part in that. You know, Socha might be good because, I think you just sometimes need a change of scenery.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think he just got set in his ways there for the Angels. And I didn't think their farm system was doing good. But, you know, going back to the Dodgers, getting some home cooking there, I think he could fit right in.
It could be interesting as well. And I don't think he's done managing. But I think he would love to stay in California.
Yeah.
I mean, you got the Dodgers, you got the Padres as well, who are always looking to change things. I don't think Socha is going to be out of a job for a long time, but I think the Padres or Dodgers will be good fit for him.
Yeah, I don't think he's done. Anybody that's won a World Series, I think, is going to be sought after by some team, and it's not like the Angels team he won with had any. You know, big superstars.
No,
I think our biggest guys were Troy Gloss and Tim Salmon. So it's not like he just had a stacked team that he was working with.
Was Lackey in that?
Lackey, I think he was a rookie that season, if I remember correctly.
I just love that gif or that video of him like saying, "Socha, this is mine, Socha.
Yep.
This is mine, Socha."
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I can remember, I was in high school and I can remember personal closing it out with Darren Erskine and all those guys. And, that was something. I was there
Eckersley? Was Eckersley?
Eckstein.
Eckstein, excuse me.
Eckstein was, he was playing, and then he went on and then won another World Series with the Cardinals.
Oh, he did?
Shout out to Good Old Lights and Lumpy.
Yes.
I'm sure they love some Eckstein, but that was just a magic year. So, I don't think Socha's done. I think he's still, you know, highly regarded around the league, but I think he just needed a new fresh team.
And they're also looking to build a new stadium, possibly in the near future.
I saw that.
I saw they pulled out of their lease. They might just want to renegotiate things. But it could be interesting if they decide to build a brand new stadium. Looks like it's the now thing, right? Build a new stadium?
Yeah, there's a lot of question marks going up. Are they building a new stadium, or is he thinking about moving the team? Maybe he's actually thinking about moving them to Los Angeles after they changed the name. But, I don't really know. I just kind of look to see once the article comes out, to, you know, see the plans are set in stone, and when they finally break ground or actually move the team, that's when I start taking.
I've seen a few tweets: "Come to Las Vegas, the Las Vegas Angels of Anaheim."
Everybody, that's the new destination spot.
I mean, it's a hotbed over there with the Vegas Golden Knights there. All the buzz that they had in the first year, that T-Mobile Arena, it's still primed to hold an NBA team. I think they'll get that done within the next 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. They'll get an NBA team out there. Sports gambling is more popular than ever. The city's booming out there. Raiders are moving out there.
Poor Raiders, though. Or poor Las Vegas people. The Raiders were looking like they were going to be a team of the future.
Yeah.
And now they're almost crumbling under Gruden.
they're like trading everybody. They're stacking up picks. We'll see how they get it done. The Lakers finally turned it around.
Yes.
got the job done.
We got, and we broke Lawler's law.
You did?
We broke Lawler's law last night against the Nuggets. They're just so much fun to watch. I mean,
they are.
They're probably the most, besides the Warriors, I think they're the most fun team to watch. They're just running and gunning. It's like almost watching NBA Jam. There's no defense at all.
Lance is out there dancing in the middle of the court.
Yeah, it's just run down, take a shot, make it or miss it, run down. You know, the other team, let them shoot, they grab the rebound, and just take off again. So I think it's good for the young guys. I think they can handle it, but
LeBron,
I'm a little worried.
LeBron is going to be gassed out by December.
Because we've seen him cramp up in the playoffs a lot, you know, be taken off for exhaustion, but hopefully these young guys can handle the load and LeBron can kind of, you know, do it at his own pace. You know, I've seen that they've been setting him down. I like a lot of the veterans, like you said, like Stevenson, Rondo.
I like that scrap. I like that fight. I was man, because there was, you know, coming, you know, I was pretty much, I followed the Clippers a lot in the last 4 or 5 years. And there was always that feeling that in the locker room, it felt like nobody was talking to each other. It felt like there was that kind of locker room. And there was some rumblings like, oh, Chris Paul's a guy. But then on camera and then, you know, on paper, all his commercial, all that, that's good PR. It always made it seem like he's a good guy.
Yes, yes.
And Rondo finally, he's like, I've had enough of this. I've had enough of this. And they actually threw it down. There was like the slow-mo video. We analyzed it.
Yeah.
I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah. I was telling people today, I was having a discussion about it because they were talking about the Rondo and Chris Paul. And I said, Chris Paul isn't the squeaky clean guy you guys think he is. He, you know, he can get in there. He's feisty. And he's competitive, which, you know, I'm not going to knock him for that. But no, I said, don't think he's an angel.
Exactly.
But, yeah, I see the Clippers are doing well. I think they've got a game up on the Lakers. Yes. They're in the playoffs so far.
They got some.
Professor G hasn't been sweating so far.
They got a couple of young core there that it's going to develop. I think they'll be okay. They got the big Boban who doesn't even need to jump to dunk.
Oh God!
He just raises his ankles. He's dunking. So I think they'll be fine. The West is stacked. The West is so good. Yes. It's so fun to watch right now.
Yeah.
The West is going to be fun to watch the rest of the year.
That's when the Lakers were playing the Nuggets last night. I didn't realize that they were undefeated.
Yeah. Yeah.
George told me, he goes, oh, aren't the Nuggets supposed to be tough? And I was like, the Nuggets? Yeah. And all of a sudden, right when he said that, the announcers are, they say, oh, the Denver Nuggets who are unbeaten this season. Yeah. Oh, God. Lakers are just a ton of fun to watch. I'm loving them. It's Showtime's back, that's for sure.
For sure. Jimmy Butler, there's rumors going that Houston's going to offer like 4 first-round picks for him.
Really?
Yeah, Woj tweeted out that they're in deep talks again. I mean, can you imagine Jimmy Butler, Chris Paul, Anthony, James Harden, PJ Tucker. That's another like drama type of team.
Yeah, I think that's too many guys and not enough basketball to go around.
Yeah, it's. By the way, I just the West. The West is so fun to watch. what else? The Spurs are always going to be in the mix of things. They know how to put their players into a system.
Yeah. Anytime you got Pop there, I still think he's the best coach in the league. You know, he can get guys to play for a system. He's very Belichick-like. Yeah. You know, he gets guys to come in there, and he just, you know, inputs them wherever he wants and coaches them how they need to be. They beat the Lakers, and we got another game, I think, tomorrow night against them.
Yeah.
But that's in San Antonio.
In San Antonio.
So we might take an L on that one.
Did you see LeBron missing two free throws?
Yes. That's what I told somebody. I said the one part about LeBron's game that has me worried is his free throws. I saw him, I believe, miss – he missed the back-to-back there. And I was like, what are you doing? And so far, he had been settling a little too much. I wanted to see the old LeBron where he just lowers his shoulder and goes in. But I think he's just trying to get the team together right now. And he's trying to get the young guys to you know, work well with them.
That's where I do agree on the MJ-LeBron debate. I've said it before. I think LeBron is better. But, you know, it's debatable. It's debatable. We'll put it that way. But that part of his game has never been consistent. I'm talking about the free throws.
Yeah.
You've seen it time and time again where the game is on the line or it's, you know, it's going to make a difference late in the game and he misses one or two.
Yep.
Oh, he breaks both of them. And it's funny because you know that when he misses that they put the camera on him And he just shrugs like, hey, I tried or something like that. And you can tell, like, even in his mind, he's like, I should have made that.
Yep.
That's the only debate that I could see him where people are saying, see, MJ would have missed, would not miss those free throws.
Yeah.
MJ made free throws with his eyes closed. Remember that bet that he had? Blah, yeah. blah. So I do agree in that front. Like, every time LeBron goes to the line, there's never that confidence that mm-hmm. you think, oh, easy 2 points.
Or yeah. There's always a debate when we were growing up, whether it's Kobe or LeBron.
Yeah.
And being a Lakers fan, you know, big Kobe fan, I had to tell my buddies, like, look, I think LeBron's, I think he's better. I mean, every time they played the Lakers,
yeah.
he would always beat them.
Yeah.
He would always, you know, outshine Kobe.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Michael and LeBron's a little closer, but, you know, I can just see LeBron. I've seen, you know, every year he's played, he's just a great scorer. He's a great leader. He's a great teammate. He plays defense, and to me, he's just the all-around guy.
I mean, we're talking about a guy that's going, what, 15 or 16 years in the league? And 15 years in the league or whatever it might be, like last year, might have been his best year yet if you're looking at just the raw stats.
Yeah.
So it's hard to debate, but no doubt about it, the Lakers are back.
Yeah, I'm pretty glad. We're 2-3 right now.
What's your feeling? What seed can they get? Do you think they can get a 6 seed?
You know, I was about to say, I think they will end up 6-7 seed, 5 at the most. Like you said, it's just so tough. I mean, it's so competitive out there. But all the talk where they're not making the playoffs, I don't see that mm-hmm. happening. They're playing tough games. You know, they yes. played the Rockets really tough.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw how heated Spurs. It got. You know, they played the Spurs. They beat the Nuggets, who are undefeated.
Portland
always plays them tough.
I've seen that the Lakers haven't won at Portland like in forever.
The Rose Garden is so tough to play in, yeah. and Lillard is just a Laker killer. He rises to the occasion every time. I don't think I've seen anyone hit more big shots against the Lakers than Damian Lillard.
They always sting so much, too.
Yes, he loves it. He loves it. You know, he goes to the fans. He tells people it's my yeah. building, and yeah. I take my hat off to yeah. him. If he can hit those deep threes like he is, just jack him up and hit him. He's a Laker killer, that's for sure.
All right, guys, that's the show for this week. Hope you enjoyed it. Again, looking forward to a very good weekend of racing. Just 1 week from today. Well, from this week, we'll be looking at the finals for the Golden State, correct?
Yep. And I'm hoping that, you know, I was off flash and roll in the trials. That's my one biggest regret from trial night, if I could take anything away.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have gone against that horse.
That workout, like, was so good on the other horse. What was the other horse's name? I can't even think of it right now.
PYC Trace? Trace and... I can't even think of it. It was...
Especially Trace PYC.
Yeah, especially Trace PYC.
Yeah.
That horse just flew out of the gate and handled business, beat his workmate by a ton, and then just breaks slow. Yeah. That's what I said. I said, I'm done. Good night.
Yeah. And that's the show for today. We'll see you guys next week.
All right. Bye, everybody.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.